Welcome to the Health Coaching Biz Shift, where we uncover the best strategies to transform your health coaching business, to attract your soulmate clients, make your money, and leave your mark in this world. I'm glad you're joining us for this week-long virtual health biz retreat, where you meet 10 of the kindest and smartest experts on marketing strategy, social media, and mindset. My name is Christiane Moore. I'm your host, and I'm also a niching and marketing strategy mentor for health and personal development coaches. Our guest today is Deb Boulanger. Deb is the CEO of The Great Do-Over, founder of the Launch Lab for Women Entrepreneurs, and host of the Life After Corporate podcast. She helps smart, accomplished women leaders make the leap from corporate to entrepreneurship. Over the last 20 years, Deb has launched dozens of services that generated hundreds of millions in revenue for her clients and launched and grew a single division from zero to 32 million in 30 months. She has taught and advised hundreds of new and aspiring women entrepreneurs to use these same proven strategies to test their business ideas and validate their money-making model. Welcome, Deb.
Thank you so much, Christiane. I'm delighted to be here.
Yeah, I'm so happy that you're here today because you're not only an expert on pricing, but you're also an accredited health coach. And you know firsthand the challenges that our listeners are going to. And pricing, that is always a little bit of a scare and a real challenge because you're uncertain about what to offer, how to package the offers, or what is even a fair price for what I'm offering. And then it sometimes comes to self-worth issues too. Today, we are talking about the technical side, and I'm doing air quotes here because we also have an interview with Ilana on the mindset and emotional side of pricing your services. But today, we are talking about how to do it from the business angle. Okay, Deb, what are the most common mistakes when it comes to pricing that coaches do when they start out or even when they're already in business for a while?
Sure, I'm happy to share that. And I'm glad you mentioned that I too am a health coach. I was certified in 2012. And I think it's particularly challenging for women who are, or entrepreneurs in general, who are coming from a place of service. You know, and if you're a health coach or a holistic practitioner, you know, your number one goal is to make an impact and help your clients heal and have better lives. And so pricing your services can be extremely difficult. And so the number one challenge that I find most new coaches have is matching the competition. And we have some great news and some not so great news. The coaching industry is a $17 billion industry. And the bad news is the coaching industry is a $17 billion industry. And with all the new coaches coming out into the market who are looking and sounding and pricing like their competition, it's hard to differentiate. And just because your competitor charges one fee doesn't mean that you can't charge more. So matching the competition is the number one pricing mistake that I see new coaches and consultants make. Mm-hmm. One of the biggest ones, and the second, is assuming affordability. So that is assuming that what your client can or can't afford and pricing your services accordingly. So I frequently hear new coaches or consultants say, well, I'm serving an ideal client. And especially in this time as we're recording this, there's been a global recession of sorts because of the COVID pandemic. And so people have been hesitant to charge what they normally would or charge what they believe their services are worth because they get their heads in their customers' wallets. And there's a problem with this on multiple levels. One is when people invest or when you invest in something that has a high value to you that may have a high fee associated with it, think about how that feels.
That feeling that comes always makes you invested. So when you're invested, you're more engaged.
Yeah. So when you're more invested, you're not only more engaged, but it's the feeling of valuing yourself, right? So when you undercharge your services based on what you feel your ideal clients can afford, then you're robbing them of the ability to invest in themselves and seeing their own value through investing with you, right? So in order for people to invest in their health, their happiness, they need to have self-worth, self-value, and investing with you to get even better is an enhanced self-value. And the second side of that is when you undercharge your services, you also rob yourself of the profitability and growth that a new business so desperately needs.
Yeah. So the value part really touches on both sides, the your worth as, or your value as the coach, but also the value of the client. And bringing them together is really, can be difficult, I suppose. So how would you do that? How would you get that feeling that is the right value for myself, but also for the client?
Well, I'll get there. Do you want me to go through the other three mistakes and then I'll share how to price? Yeah. So
that's fine, thanks.
Yeah. So the other thing that I find is new coaches tend to charge by the hour. So the third pricing mistake is charging by the hour. And the problem with that is you're not delivering value by the hour. You're not changing someone's life by the hour. You're changing someone's life based on the outcome that you're delivering through your services. And when people charge by the hour, they tend to underprice their services because they're afraid of what their clients will think if they put a premium on their time. And what happens is new coaches rapidly run out of time and their ability to earn more money because you run out of time to service clients. And if you're undercharging, then you'll find yourself trading time for dollars and not making enough money to sustain your business.
Yeah.
The next one is not having any leverage into your offer. So just like charging by the hour, if you're delivering everything one-to-one and it requires your time to a single client, then you'll limit your ability to grow your business. You'll limit your ability to be profitable and make a good living and invest in your business and live an abundant life. So leverage into your business is understanding, where do I have the opportunity to deliver the same transformation, but instead of one-to-one, on a one-to-many basis, whether that's retreats or group programs or any sort of format where you're delivering value to a group of people instead of to a single individual. So this helps you scale your income as well as scaling your impact. And this is important for all coaches to include in their business model. And frequently, if it's a group situation, then it is by its very nature more affordable for the people who sign up to work with you. And the last one, and this probably gets into the whole mindset piece, so we won't spend a lot of time here, but it's undervaluing your services. And you end up underpricing your services because you undervalue your impact. So for many women who are newly certified coaches, you may be coming at it from the point of, oh, I'm new to this. But the truth is, you're not new to this. There was a whole lifetime of experience and perhaps an entire career that you had before you decided to shift gears and add health coach certification to your portfolio. So when you undervalue yourself, you undervalue your impact. And that's huge. And so you asked me earlier, how do we get around this?
Yeah.
And yes, so I think, you know, the whole pricing by the hour or pricing my time is a faulty strategy. And what's really needed is pricing based on outcome, pricing based on the impact that your work is making on your ideal client. And only your ideal client can articulate what the value of that is. And I call that return on advantage.
For the return on advantage, I suppose you're going wider, you widen the picture for your ideal client. Like, what does it mean on an emotional basis? What is possible after they got healed from whatever or have a higher quality of their life again? Am I right about that?
You are so right about that, Christiane. So it's about the impact that your work makes on their lives and the compounded impact of that. So if you're able to help someone who has chronic inflammation, let's just use that as an example, and you're able to, through the help and guidance that you give, have their systems subside or even go away, what is that person now able to do that they weren't able to do before? What what pleasure in life do they get now that they didn't get before? So there's a return on advantage. There may even be lower medical bills and fewer pharmaceuticals that they're taking. So there's a cost advantage to them of the work that you do as well.
May I come back to the point that you said that we are all bringing something from our former life before we're starting out as a coach? How would I implement this in my pricing strategy? Is there something that I'm touching on stories from my former life, or what is the part that I'm taking over into that next phase of my professional life?
Yeah, I think it's just a matter of not compartmentalizing just your health coach training, that you have had life experience that is valuable to your clients. You may have a professional experience or business experience that is helpful to you as you grow your business. So not to, and I'm saying this because I made this mistake myself when I first started out as a health coach. I was thinking, oh my God, I'm brand new to this. I don't really know what I'm doing, until I realized a few years in, actually, that I was combining my business experience with my coaching experience and help coaches build stronger businesses. So that realization was a real light bulb moment that said, you know, no, you don't throw away the last 20 years of the work that you did in the corporate world. That's not no longer relevant anymore. It's very relevant, and your clients need that. So if you incorporate both. And also, coaches tend to be people who are constantly improving. So you're learning new skills, you're developing new practices. So whether that's, you know, mindset or positive psychology or mindfulness, you're multifaceted in who you are as an individual, and you're multifaceted in the value that you bring to your clients and customers.
Yeah, that's maybe the least technical of all these five mistakes that you're making, because it really comes back right to your own mindset.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, everything is mindset, right? It's a matter of stepping into your value. And I think as humans, it's hard for us to see our own value, and that it's only through the transformation that we start making with our client relationships that we start to see the potential impact of what we're really doing and what we're really offering. And that's equally as true for me as it is for anyone else. But when you start to understand the value of that impact, and that if you are a starving coach that, you know, will likely end up going out of business in 3, 4, or 5 years, then you don't get to make the impact that is your dream, that is your vision. So it's so vitally important that you have the business skills as well as the coaching skills to make this work.
Yeah, you're so right on that, because I had a conversation with a client a week back or something, and she said, if you hadn't pushed me to take that higher price, I would never have done it, but they paid it. So it is really, sometimes we need that little outside push and that reminder that we are underpricing ourselves, I think. And like you said, it's true for everybody, because we are getting blindsided by whatever happens in our life.
Yeah. And it doesn't matter if you were a senior executive or, you know, where you are on the spectrum, everyone has that exact same problem. And so I think a piece of advice we can give all of your listeners here today is just double your price and see what that looks like and see what that feels like. For many of my clients, they're amazed that they were undervaluing themselves, and that when they doubled their prices, their clients happily paid.
Yeah, I want to touch on one topic which is quite common lately. That is the high ticket mantra, I call it, because everybody says you just need a few high ticket clients and you don't have to worry about all the smaller ones. What is your stance on that?
Well, you know, I am not a fan of anything that's cookie cutter, right? So anything that's a one size fits all, I mean, red alarms start going off in my mind. You know, it's just like, you know, run as fast as you can away from anyone who's selling you a formula that will work. And I think there's just great business processes that work for everyone, but everybody's business is different. Every individual is different, just like everybody is different. So I take the same approach as we do with health, as to, you know, there's a process to follow to determine what your business model is. And so as far as high ticket, if that's in you know, if that's in your heart. So, you know, if you have a high ticket offer, which must be then a high ticket experience, a high ticket transformation, then by all means, go for it. If I'm a big fan of building your product portfolio, and I consider all services products, and you should package them and sell them as products, not as by the hour, which we've already said. But starting with the core offer, I think the mistake people make is when they start too low and they start with, say, a membership model or a low-end course at a few hundred dollars or a few hundred euros for that program and expect to make money at it. So I think when you're first starting out as a coach, one-to-one coaching is where you want to start. When you start spotting the patterns of where people repeatedly trip up and you're repeating yourself over and over again, look for a core offer that is a one-to-many product that you can sell for a good price. You're delivering a high amount of value for it. So it's not really a super high ticket offer, but it's a core offer. It's something where you can impact many, many people. What you will find is, I believe in this formula of problem, solution, problem. Once you solve someone's problem, there's a new problem that emerges. And if you've done a good job as a coach, they want more from you. They want to go further with you. And that's the opportunity to offer something that's more high-end, more hands-on.
Yeah. So that's actually something that you mentioned earlier with leveraging your business, going from one-to-one to one-to-many. And I remember that you said one of your first offers was actually a group program. So you didn't have a long waiting list for one-on-one clients, because this is something that I also hear a lot. Unless you have a lot of one-on-one clients on your wait list, don't even bother about a group program. But you have a completely different approach to that. And I actually like that, because it frees up your time to go to the next and deeper level with your one-on-one clients. Is there anything that you think that should be in place before you start with a group program? Or is it just, if you have the feeling you have enough, let's say, enough insight into the problems of your clients, it's good enough?
That's a great question, Christiane. And here's my answer. It's that the problem with health coaches is they're too generic. And so even though the process of getting healthy, whether you have an autoimmune disease or you've got diabetes or there's something else going on in your life, the truth is the process is really very similar to solve those problems. But your ideal client must go through a door, and that door has to be very relevant to a problem that they're having. So for an example, if it's helpful, I have one of my clients who's an outstanding health coach who's trained in multiple methodologies and can work on mindset, you know, exercise, diet, inflammation, sleep, whatever that door is. You have to find the gap in the market. The gap in the market is that problem that everyone is looking to solve that's so difficult. And so in this day and age right now, with what we're experiencing, there's a high degree of stress. There's a high degree of anxiety. There's a high degree of sleeplessness. And so the door that you might walk through, you know, the offering that you might have for your client, whether that's a free lead magnet or a webinar or whatever you're offering, will be something that's very relevant to a problem they're experiencing in the moment. And then once you do that, creating a group program that brings them through an X step process of how to get on the other side of that problem. And that's what I've seen work. And that's what's successful in the market. If you're creating a group program and it's too generic, you'll have a difficult time selling it.
So you really have to do your homework before you start a group program and be clear about what your ideal client actually needs and wants both.
Don't guess, test, you know, test before you invest. Have some conversations with your ideal clients, or, you know, typically coaches do practice coaching before they even get started coaching and charging people. So what were some of the common patterns that you identified in those early coaching experiences? And also the internal piece of it, Christiane, is, you know, what pulls at your heart, right? What is the personal experience? It usually comes from a sense of purpose, comes from our personal experience. Yeah. So what is that that drives you, that pulls you, that breaks your heart, and that you really want to make a difference about? So the riches are in the niches, you know, go narrow and deep rather than broad and shallow, and you'll be able to make an impact. And you can still tackle multiple issues in a sequential way. You may have, you know, four group programs, each identifying something different that you bring your clients through. And 80% of that content may be the same, but you're delivering it in a very specific and very relevant way.
Yeah, it's actually you preaching to the converted, because I so strongly believe in a really very specific niche that makes your whole communication easier, because it talks to the problem, to the burning pain that your audience has. And this is actually what you just talked about. Even if you have four programs that are really similar, but every time you're tackling a different program, a different problem, and they know exactly, oh, this is me, this is what I need, that makes everything easier. And it makes it easier for yourself too, because you're just basically creating the 20% that are different.
Yes, absolutely. And you're carving out that unique space that you want to own and you want to be known for. So in a very crowded market, the only way you get seen and heard above the noise and above the crowd is when you create a differentiated strategy. And so I'm sure you support your clients in that way, and in creating, crafting communications that enable them to stand out in a crowded market. And being very specific is important.
It all comes together in the end. It's the stories that you tell. It's the packages that you offer as the services packages. And it doesn't matter which angle you're coming from. At a certain point, you always have to find that specific problem that you're solving and package it in a way that is appealing to your audience.
you can take it
from every angle. It's the same always.
And price it in a way that enables them to see value in themselves, that they're investing in themselves. There's a value to the experience. And people who invest more actually commit more to the results.
Yeah. There's also a second point, because when we are talking about services which are not tangible, you're looking for placeholders for the value of whatever you're buying. It's different to buying a high quality TV set. You see a little bit how it's built and how shiny is it, but with a service, you don't have that. So it's even more important to give the appearance, or not just the appearance, but to give pointers of the level of quality you are offering. And I think value is, or the price is one pointer to this value, because it shows how much value you're putting to your offer. It's not an offer that is on a lower level where it feels like an entry level, and it feels like, okay, I don't have to invest a lot, so I don't have to bring in a lot. And this also robs me a little bit of the first, what you said before, of the experience, but also my own engagement drops maybe away, because I think, well, if I did invest a lot, so what can I expect?
It's just right. And also, when you undercharge your services, there's something that happens. You start resenting your clients. Because then you start saying, oh, they're too demanding. They're not paying for this level of service. So I would much rather over deliver and delight and go the extra mile and give them more than they paid for, and have them at the end of the program say it exceeded my expectations. And pricing my services on a value basis enables me to be generous with my clients.
Yeah. May I ask one thing about the group programs? Are you also offering a one-on-one part where your client or your patient really gets one-on-one time for that specific part that makes him different to the others?
Yeah, there are some people who don't like to learn in a group setting and prefer more customized handholding. So there's two things that are important about that. Number one is there needs to be a difference between your group program pricing and your personal time. So there should be a vast difference in that. And too often I see people, let's just say, have a group program for 3,000, and then, you know, their private coaching is 3,500 or 4,000. And that's not enough differentiating. Everyone would prefer private. you know, and then you're in the same position that you were in before, which is you run out of time and you're not making the impact you want to make. So, and especially if there's a lot of demand for your private coaching, that's a sure indicator that you can raise your prices.
Yeah. At least then you're coming back to the wait list.
Yeah, exactly.
Are there other ways to build that leverage and that standout experience for your business, for your offers? We talked about the one-on-one programs. We talked about finding the gap and testing your concept. Mm-hmm. I have in the back of my head that we also talked about repeatable frameworks. Can you
explain that? Yeah, so if you're familiar with the customer journey, which is a concept in marketing that we've used for decades, really. And it's, what is the journey of the customer? What is their starting point? What is their end point? And what are all the steps that you need to take in between? And it becomes a rinse and repeat model, right? So frameworks are super important to your business, to how you deliver your services, also to how you engage your prospects. You know, there is also a framework for engagement, a framework for having someone download a lead magnet, cultivating them and nurturing them as a connection, and then inviting them to take the next action. So I'm a huge believer in structure in your business model, both on the marketing side and on the service delivery side. And within the structure, there's infinite creativity. But what I see too many coaches do is they're always reinventing the wheel. They're never doing anything the same way twice. Yeah. And that's a disservice. When you develop frameworks, then you can improve upon the framework, but you're not always wasting your time and energy and mind share reinventing the wheel every time you want to launch a new program or every time you get a new client. So I have multiple frameworks in my business. I have marketing frameworks. I have the framework for the Launch Lab for Women Entrepreneurs, which is a 5-step process. And then I have a framework for when people graduate the Launch Lab, they go into the 6-figure accelerator where they can accelerate their path to multiple 6 figures. And that is based on a different framework for those who already have a tested, vetted product offering who now want to focus on sales and marketing and exposure in the marketplace.
Yeah. So frameworks go in the direction of the client, but also in direction of your own processes. They say, okay, absolutely, this is what I'm doing in marketing and when I onboard a new client and things like that. So it is really about thinking through what you're doing and putting it into a model that you can repeat.
Wash, rinse, repeat.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep. And webinars, you know, it's another thing I teach is a program called Standout Webinars. And that's something else too. You know, I've developed a framework for how you market a webinar, how you deliver a webinar, and how you make an offer in a webinar. And that's something that I can rinse and repeat. And when you have frameworks, the benefit is not working so hard, because you don't have to always create something new, even if you have a new topic or a new message that you want to deliver, you're just plugging it into something that already exists.
Yeah. It's like your own template, which means it's aligned to your messaging into everything, not like the templates that you can buy and they never feel good because they're too generic and could serve everybody, but it's your own, but then you still have less work.
Yeah. And when you start sounding like someone else, and especially it's mostly the guys that are doing these marketing strategies.
I know what you're talking about.
And then, you know, you don't land, you don't resonate with your ideal client. So I think there's the opportunity for really new, more feminine-based marketing frameworks to go out there that says, here's the structure of your message, or here's the structure of your delivery. Now go in there and make it your own.
Yeah, that is, couldn't agree more, Deb. So you gave us a lot of great insights about the pitfalls and also best practices. Any last words on how to implement all that we talked about in the last 30 minutes?
Yeah. So, you know, I'd be happy to go deeper with your listeners who want to go further. So the last word is be intentional. Last week, I delivered a masterclass on how to double your revenues in the next year. And it's not difficult. It's not difficult if you have a structure, if you have a strategy, if you have a framework. And so I developed one that you can share with your listeners, and it's the Experts Pricing Calculator, where you can plug in your revenue goal, model out your prices, see what different price scenarios deliver for you, enter in your typical close ratio or the number, the percentage of clients that you closed out of the prospects that you speak with. And what you'll get is exactly how many clients you'll need to enroll into your programs and how many prospects you'll need to reach in order to reach that goal. So it takes the mystery and the wishful thinking out of pricing and revenue.
Well, that sounds like a really valuable resource, and I already had a sneak peek, so I can really recommend it. So make sure you get it. It's linked underneath the interview. And that just leaves me to thank you, Deb, for taking the time out. I know you have a really busy schedule, and for giving us all that valuable advice about pricing and sharing the insights on all the levels that you gave to us. Thanks a lot. And I'm happy that we got the possibility to talk to you.
I am so happy that for some reason, good fortune introduced us, Christiane. I love your mission and your vision, and it was my pleasure to contribute.
Well, thank you, Deb.